So, without further ado, Kenny Schachter, for those of you who do not know him, he is the artist of CryptoMutts. He is a artist in real life, and he is a unbelievably unique guy. So, Kenny, say hi to the Mutts and Purrs.
Hello, everybody. Let me just add one quick thing. I promise it'll be a quick thing before you finish. But you just said in real life, and someone just said that NFT NYC was the greatest subculture they've seen in decades. But this is real life, and NFTs are not a subculture. And social media and Discord and all of that is not the alienation of social media. These are people that are communicating with shared interests, and there's nothing meta about it. It's just us, and so many of us meet each other in real life and form significant relationships. So this is not no anything remotely like a subculture. This is culture in the first degree, happening in real time at a pace, the rapidity of which I've never seen anything like it in my, what I should say is a very long so far lifetime. It's absolutely shocking and astounding the velocity with which this whole world has taken shape. And I'm so grateful to be here with all you guys. Thank you for listening and for having me. And it's pretty unbelievable.
Man, you beautiful. So I want people, especially in Penelope's, to know a little bit about you and about your project, because like Huda is a huge fan, Tickle Snarf is a huge fan, Endless Traveler is a huge fan, and I came into this knowing about CryptoMutts. I'm familiar with it. I know about you in the art world. In fact, I do want to say this: you might be the footprint of, and correct me if I'm wrong, like an original flipper. You were a curator of fine art, right? You had a gallery you bought and sold. Tell us about that, and then how you got into Mutts.
A flipper in the fine art world, or I hate that word, in the contemporary art world, let's call it, a flipper is like the most pejorative, nasty thing that you could say to someone. Until artists got royalties for the resale of work, now whenever you see a notice in your account that someone resold something, you're kind of grateful because this you get a per in you get a royalty in perpetuity. So it used to be that if you resold something, even 5 years after you bought it, you get blacklisted or pigeonholed as a bad person in the traditional art space. But because I never took an art class in my entire life until I was teaching one, I'll always have the mentality of an outsider, of someone who's looking in through the glass, who wasn't invited to the party, most of which I'm not invited to. But I clawed my way painstakingly to a position in the fine art world over 30 plus years as a writer, as a curator, but no one ever really took me seriously as an artist because I did so many things for economic necessity to survive, which has included selling cars and selling art. And if you do different, I mean, I made an art piece back in the 90s where I just wrote in really thick marker the word dealer right across my cheek. And I was copying Prince, who at the time was trying to get out of an oppressive recording contract with Sony, and he wrote the word slave on his face, and he literally never left his house without being branded as this like slave of the recording industry that was in an unfair, subjugated, like contractual relationship. And in the art world, all they love to do is to put you into little boxes and say, you're this, you're not that, you could never be that. You can't say this, you can't do that. And what I, again, like what I love about NFTs and crypto is that if you're doing something interesting, that speaks for itself. There's no preconceived prejudices against someone because they've had other lives. In fact, that kind of multiplicity in activities is something that's celebrated rather than a way to use it to dismiss people. So I just literally, like, I made art for 30 years. I've curated shows with contemporary artists, young and old. An emerging artist could be someone who's 80 years old or 20 years old. An emerging artist is someone who hasn't been embraced by the shitty, exclusive, barrier-ridden gallery system. And where social media enabled artists to express themselves, what they're doing anyway, visually, blurring all of geographical boundaries, the NFT market has for the first time in history opened up the capacity of makers from all walks of life, from all continents in the world, to be able to find an audience and actually make a living from the thing they care about most. In my lifetime, I never thought I would make a living off of the thing that, off of my own art. Never in a million years. I thought I was going to go to the grave with zero capacity to sell the things that meant the most to me, my art. And only in the last year has this actually unfolded in a meaningful way. And yeah, so that's it for that. And then I can tell you more about my thoughts going into the Mutt Project, if you're interested.
Oh, I totally want to know about the Mutt Project. A lot of us do. One thing that I think makes this space really unique, speaking for myself, but also for a lot of the idiots, our group of non-fungible idiots that are here amongst other friends in the space, we are slightly cavemen. Like, we were not fine art collectors in real life. And your artwork, to me, and again, I'm really looking forward to hearing more about it, your artwork is different than most 10K PFPs. Maybe it's because in my mind you are an artist and you've been involved in real life with art, but it isn't just some random trait PFP project. There's something that seems like there's something more behind it. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is just random, but your art is, when I use the word wacky, I mean that in an awesome way. It's different. It's not just a dog. It's not just a frog. There's some really interesting things going on in the background. So to us cavemen, speaking of myself, tell us a little bit about this like bridge between real life art and your project and how and why Crypto Mutts came to be.
Well, it's funny that you have a group called Idiot. What are they called? Idiot Fungible.
Non-fungible idiots, but we just call ourselves idiots.
Right. So it's funny because without having known that at all, I've always referred to myself not as an idiot savant, but as an idiot savant. Because I just basically stumbled into the art world having never taken a course, or I didn't even know that you could buy or sell a painting until I was nearly 27 years old. I'm a late bloomer. Just because I was raised in the suburbs, I was never taken to a museum as a child ever. And I only discovered the art world by stumbling into Sotheby's when they were selling Andy Warhol's estate. And that was the epiphany that, wow, I thought art went from an artist to a museum, and that was the end of the discussion. So to jump forward to the Mutts, after seeing so many PFP projects where people are spending literally billions of dollars today on apes and punks, I really think is extraordinary for the historical impact and import of that project. But anyway, after seeing penguins and unicorns and mushrooms and frogs and every little thing, I just thought, and you could buy a one-of-one masterpiece by a crypto artist, a digital artist, an NFT artist for $35, and yet some of these cartoon avatars that people use for their profile pictures, etc., were going for millions, where you can get a masterpiece for under $100. So then I just thought, like, I'm a critic, but I'm not a normal anything. I think you figured that out already. But I just thought, like, I would introduce some humor, which I think is profoundly important defense mechanism to getting through life's ups and downs and tragedies. And I mean, I'm the one who laughs at a funeral, but like, it's the only way that I could survive with art, which gives meaning to my life. So I just thought that as a joke, if you took all the PFPs and put them in a blender, you come up with a Mutt, which is an idea that came to me in one of my writing essays, articles. And then I just thought, like, we're all Mutts. I mean, someone said to me, that's such a terrible phrase. How can you refer to anyone as a Mutt? I'm a Mutt. I'm a mongrel. I'm a person who every time I roll out of bed, that's the time I've already made my first mistake. And I think that a life without mistakes, mishaps, and failures is an unsuccessful life. I mean, I think self-actualization or fulfillment in life is defined by humiliating yourself, which I'm pretty damn good at. But I mean, so anyway, a Mutt is just a way. And another thing is, like, with the apes, I don't want to focus on them. I think it's an extraordinary project. But just in relationship to the club aspect of the apes, what I thought would be part of the utility of the Mutts would be as entree to a club. If you want to read my writing for ArtNet, they erected a paywall, which really annoyed me between us, because the whole point, I'm really interested in a non-hierarchical democratic approach to life, except Clubhouse, which is a perfect example of how pure democracy just can never work properly. But anyway, so really the mutts were, you can get access to all my writing, which would cost around $400 a year at ArtNet for $80, which the minting price was, and the floor is low still. So when you buy a mutt, you get access to all my writing, which already costs $400 a year at ArtNet. And in addition to that, like the future utility is, I'm really not a person who reserves a flight for Monday before Saturday or Sunday, or has a life plan other than it will be a life in art in whatever form that takes. So the mutts are just a way, like the word community is used so broadly in the NFT space, but it's a concrete thing that profoundly exists. So in the Discord, I never went to Discord before I dropped my mutts. And now it's the first thing I look at before I take the crust out of my eyes and start speaking to these like-minded people. They give me a lot of criticism, a lot of pushback, but a lot of support and a lot of great ideas. And that's something that I have missed in the fine art world. For 25 years, it hasn't been like that. Or 20 years, it's turned into not just a business is great. I'm all for making a living and making money. But for me, first and foremost, will always be the love of art. So everything we're talking about, all the relationships I have, everything I do boils down to one thing. I'm crazy nuts about art. And I'm so passionate, and all you're hearing ring through my voice is the pure love of art and the people that support it. Art can't exist alone in a forest. It needs an audience to complete the equation. So to be honest, like I'm drifting away from Instagram and the fine art audience that I painstakingly clawed my way into accumulating over the last 33 years. And what excites me is speaking to you, meeting you, and all of you people that are listening. That is where, for me, my passion and my excitement levels are shifting towards, because I'm getting something in return, which is just feedback of people that care, not just people that want to put you down or dismiss you, write you off, or see you fail. So this is the mutts. I don't have a game plan for the next 5 years. All I know is that everything I do in the fine art world, in any world, the mutts will be reflected. I'm doing a crazy project in Miami for Basel in the fair, which, if all goes well, which is probably asking a bit too much, should be a pretty outrageous thing that's going to piss a lot of people off and make a lot of people thrilled. But I want to bring all of you into this shitty little closed down world. And I have, my access is your access. And that's what the mutts are all about.
That's awesome. The next question I was going to ask you, I think you answered, was what excites you about NFTs? Like what will there be utility? Obviously that's a huge thing projects are trying to offer right now, is utility, yield tokens, just like Penelope's Country Club. Your project seems a little bit different because, how do I say it? Like you don't have this full roadmap that everybody seems to release at the very beginning, at 20%, at 30%. You're like, hey, I got this project.
I beg your pardon.
Well, no. I mean this in the coolest way. This is not just, hey, we do this at this part, we do this at this part, we do this at this part. You have said that you are going to continue to add to the mutts as you go, right? Anything that you do in the future is going to involve the mutts. So you're not kind of bird caged into just, oh, here's my roadmap, this is why you bought. This is organic. It can change at any time with whatever idea you may have in the future, right?
Right. Well, I mean, when you say roadmap, and I mean, I think of Stalin in Russia, and I think of like a 5-year plan in the Communist Party. I don't like this world in technology. 1 year in technology is like dog years. It's 7 years outside of technology. And in 6 months or a year, this world is going to be completely different from the world we're talking about now. So what I could tell you is I was on the phone all morning with two mega firms, a metaverse firm that works for companies like BMW and Nike and Coldplay, and Angela Merkel, the prime minister of Germany, have done kind of intranet metaverse spaces that are private, and then speaking to the architectural practice of Zaha Hadid, who is a really close friend of mine. And in Miami, there's going to be, I'm going to showcase this new space, which will be ultimately some kind of an NFT platform to showcase the work of great artists. And the Mutts will always have early access to all the different projects that I do. So ultimately, someplace or another, I'm going to open this space permanently, and it'll be guest curated and administered, because I'm not a gallerist. I want to focus on making art and teaching, which is so important. I get as much satisfaction from enabling someone else to take the plunge and do stuff than I do from selling my own NFTs. So, I mean, I have a very firm game plan in my mind, which is I'm going to start a space, and the Mutt holders, I'm working with a great fashion company called Siberia Hills, and we're going to collaborate on a Mutt line and et cetera and merch, and everyone will be able to get I've already given away 500 t-shirts for free. I wrote down every address by hand myself, and then we sent them out all over the world. They're still being sent. I'm about halfway through. And then you'll be able to access all the NFTs that will be showcased in this space that lands somewhere in some metaverse space. And also I'm working on a token, like you guys are, in NFTism token. NFTism is a term that I trademarked even. And for me, NFTs are nothing. I've said it before, you probably heard it, but NFTs are just a smart contract, a certificate of authenticity on the blockchain that piggybacks on an Ethereum or other token. But NFTism is what we're all sitting here learning from each other, speaking to each other. Right now, it's just me preaching the shit. But NFTism is this crazy, wild sense that is electric. It's beyond electric. It's nuclear in terms of the energy. Is absolutely inspires me every second. And my life has not been the same for 14 months since I heard those three magical letters. And I don't want to be the bridge to the fine art world. I want to blow it up. I want to create a new system where people want to make art and sell it. They can, they will, they should, they have to. And that's what really thrills me. So I think that is a roadmap in and of itself. I'm going to do a token. Mutt holders will get 100 tokens. I'm in discussions with a Swiss company. We've signed a letter of intent called TokenGate. There's a company, CVVC, which is an incubator company. They're all involved in the creation of this token right now. So that's happening. And the tokens should be able to be used to buy NFTs in the metaverse space. So there are things happening, but I don't want to hold myself to a specific plan, because that's limiting. And then you're like stuck in this self-fulfilling prophecy that I have to do this, I can't do that. Look, I've already taken pushback and criticism on the Discord because I said I would do this and I've done that. I've earmarked 700 Mutts that I'm going to give away, whether it grounds the token, it's in a vault, or that's still being worked out. But if I say I'm going to do something, okay, I'm not going to do it exactly probably as I first proposed it, but I'm never going to stray materially from something I said I would do, I will do. But I'm learning, like everyone in this space. It's such, I mean, this market is like maybe the punks came on board late 17, but in earnest, this market's been going for 2 years at most. And we're in the baby nascent stages of something that I just saw that Blau, I don't even know if I say his name right, is like selling. When you buy an NFT, you own the rights to the song, you share in the royalties. Every day there's going to be innovation that's going to just like blow the whole model of existence, in whether it's, you know, anything, music and film and theater and real estate, and everything is going to find a home on the blockchain. So this is like, we're all lucky and smart enough to be in the right place at the right time. And this is exactly where we are right this second. It's loving and caring about NFTs, whether it's a collectible, whether it's art, whether it's a song, whether it's an idea, whether it's a poem, whatever it is, this whole system. I mean, as a poet, is probably the only thing that's more difficult to earn a living at than an artist, a painter or something. But even like poets with the poet NFTs by Pac and all of these other things, I mean, it's probably like the Renaissance and one of the most exciting times to be alive. And how could you even like refer in the past to anything that happened within such a brief window of time that has created a new language, a new way of existence and set up a whole host of new experiences and relationships. It's amazing.
And you're blowing my mind with all the things that you're saying.
He sounds like an incredible OG stuff. NF collector at this point, like an actual NFT professional, right? Yes, I have to say the scene is lucky to have you, Kenny.
Well, I'm lucky to have it because I'm trying desperately to scrape the money together to buy a house where we're having this conversation in different rooms. And if I don't get the money together, I lose my deposit and the sale. My mutts are basically, you know, a good chunk of how I'm going to be able to do this. I'm not interested in a cash grab. I never check the prices. When I've been releasing NFTs on Super Rare Foundation, Nifty Gateway since well over a year. And I don't look to see who buys my work. I don't look to see who sells my work. All I care about is art and the future. I never look back. And maybe I should pay more attention to those things. But I just think that if your mind is in the right place and your intentions are relatively pure, then you're winning, you know, and things will work karmically because you have good faith, integrity, and transparency. And that's how I live. And my art writing, before I even found out about NFTs, I've had death threats, people trying to sue me, people literally throwing punches at me on Madison Avenue to Hong Kong because I tell the truth. And I have no interest, no vested interest. I'm not beholden to anyone. And I wouldn't even, like, I would put the community ahead of my own self-interest. I just don't care about doing something for a short-term horizon. The floor, sure, I look at the floor all the time. And, you know, this is the world we live in. We live in a world where you're like, your self-esteem is pegged to numbers, how many friends you have, how many followers you have, how much money you have. And there's always going to be someone selling for more, doing better, better audience, better visibility. That's a miserable way to live. But to some extent, it's human nature. And that's just the way life is. So of course, I'm part of that same. I mean, my kid just told me to like back off the Instagram that I'm overexposing myself. And it was like a slap in the face of reality testing. And he was right. So I pull back a little bit. But at the same time, my intentions are in the right place. I care about people. The most every single person that's listening and every person I've ever spoken to or lectured to or taught, I always say, if you have a question, ask me. If it's within my power to give you an answer, I will try to help you because people in the art world will always shut you down. Like I said before, the only word it knows, K-N-O-W, is the word N-O. No, you can't. I mentioned that. But I mean, it takes the same amount of energy to say yes, maybe you should try this or this is an approach you should take. And then you've helped someone and it's like putting a stone in the water. The implications and the ripple effect can have a profound impact on other people's lives. And that's a gift. And that's given my life meaning. I lost one of my kids 2.5 years ago. If it wasn't for art, I wouldn't be able to carry on in my other kids. So it's this type of experience. They've had clinical studies showing that living with art and surrounded by aesthetic things reduce anxiety and blood pressure. And they're using it in hospitals now as a treatment. So art is not just a bullshit thing that you could buy or sell or flip. It's something that could make your life more meaningful and last longer.
Kenny, so if art is an anxiety reliever, I don't know what you call this room that I'm in. I moved spaces, by the way. I came downstairs. So I'm in this room with the entire room is art. It's all art. And is this your space where you go to relieve anxiety? Like, is this your madman lair that I'm in?
Are you on the ground floor or the 4.5?
I'm on the ground floor with things that.
Right. Well, that's like my studio. That's my studio. And the thing is, like, another complaint is like when I first started evangelizing about NFTs in Instagram and in my writing on ArtNet, I created a whole other population of haters that want to destroy me. People saying that NFTs are money. What a fucking stupid thing to say. If Ethereum is money or damn close to it or some of the other currencies. NFTs, you don't buy NFTs. I don't. I mean, sure, PFPs are akin to like a security, but if you want to make money, you trade coins. You trade Ethereum or Polkadot or Solana or Algo. But everything. Another thing you hear about is that, oh, like you don't look at NFTs. The only way you could see an NFT is in your on your computer or on your phone. Well, first of all, I spent like 16 hours and 7 minutes is my personal best for one day of phone time, which I have to say, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's, I'm proud of it because it means my whole life is lived through technology, through everyone I've met that I have meaningful personal physical relationships with has come from social media, and I'm not, I'm proud of it. I'm grateful because I work by myself in a little room, in a little office, and I would never see anyone were it not for social media. So the thing I'm trying to say is that everything in that room you see, whether it's a painting on a canvas, which I'll have to say I have made in China, or it's a sculpture which derived from a manipulated photographic computer image, you could live with NFTs. And also, like, videos have been sold as art since the 60s. And if you want to see a video from 1967, what do? You put it on a fucking television set or on a screen. So everything in that room, which are photographs, printed digital files, you could, NFTs, you could live with in the same way you have a pillow on your bed. I'm in my bedroom, so that's my reference. But you could create the physical nature of a digital file is whatever the fuck you want it to be, whether you want to keep it on your phone. People have trillions of dollars of art in warehouses, free ports across the world that they never refer to. At least if you have a wallet full of NFTs, you look at, I tend to look at my accounts all the time. And more in the future, we're going to have 3D projections of NFTs into our living spaces, dedicated devices. I had a dinner for Nifty Gateway. I let them use my dining room for dinner, and I put a loop, a USB, whatever, of a group of my videos. And there it was, like a painting, indistinguishable from any other form of art. And when we talk about, like, again, I don't differentiate between a file or a sculpture. It is, or a poster, or a car, or a chair. Great things made with passion and love are art in whatever form it takes.
Very cool. I want,
can I ask a question?
Yeah, just get this in real quick before you ask it. Sure. Anybody who wants to ask a question that wants to get in queue, because I know Kenny's got an appointment at 12:30. So if anybody wants to ask questions, just request it, and I'll hook you up while Huda's asking.
Perfect. I'm curious. You clearly, you see the same vision that I think everybody here sees, what NFTs are bringing, what they're going to continue to bring over the next year, 5 years, 10 years, the way it's going to shape, I think, just the world. What was it that made that click for you? What is it that made you realize you had to get into NFTs and inspire you to make more NFTs, to make your Mutts project and to keep building that?
Well, that's an amazing question. So the thing is, like, I couldn't code like my name into any of the most basic programming language. I am not a technical person, and I struggle with the most basic things. That's part of the reason you have children, so they can get your fucking telephone to work. But for me, I had an IBM desktop when I went to law school, which I went not to ever even dream of being a lawyer, trust me, but I studied philosophy and there was no philosophy job and I didn't know what I wanted to do. I just knew one thing, which is what I didn't want to do. I didn't want to do the same thing from one day to the next. I wanted a life of creativity and entrepreneurship, but I wasn't aware that there was such a thing as the art world. So I had been from that IBM floppy disk computer where I taught myself mainly just how to type and become an expert word processor. From there, in the early 90s, well, I made analog videos, but then I used these little micro digital video cassettes to film videos. One video was where I created like a full living room and then smashed everything. And it was a comment upon how I've been on the floor of the stock exchange. I've been in the fashion world, which you would never know by looking at me. I've done a million jobs. I've been a lawyer. But nothing prepared me for how backward-looking and conservative the fine art world is. It's absolutely stifling. And if you look at why Christie's and Sotheby's are at the forefront of creating primary markets for NFT artists, is because the galleries are so fucking backward-looking and they're so scared. They're so scared of losing control, losing market share, losing territory to their own artists. I've seen so many situations where galleries don't even give the artists opportunities that were offered because they want to control the output of the artist. So anyway, I made digital animations in 93. I used to make giant computer prints on vinyl and paint parts of it or bring it out in Photoshop and show those in pop-up shows that I was doing before there was the word pop-up. And there's one artist, Wade Guyton, who I showed before he had a printer. He sold a painting out of a computer printer for $6 million. And this is back like, you know, 5-7 years ago before any of this came on the table. So the second NFTs were brought to my attention when I was going on a gallery hopping tour with Olive Allen, and she mentioned she had done some NFTs. I didn't know what it was, but I knew as an artist of someone who employed digital means in my work, it was a revelation. And from one set before she finished her sentence, I was on the phone. She put me in touch with Tommy Kimmelman from Nifty Gateway, and I sold $4,000 worth of NFTs last December. And I was the happiest person on the entire planet. So as someone, like I said, it's human nature to push things back that are new. People are scared of what they don't know. Rather than saying, I want to learn, maybe this is something that could impact my life in a positive way. Rather than do that, most people get scared when there's something new. Oh, it's a burden to have to study something and learn a new language. But it's a gift because it enabled me to effectuate a dream that I've had. Every time I would blow out a candle for the last fucking 25 birthdays, I would always say, I hope my family is okay, and I hope that I could someday make a living from my art. And I was already at the point where that was never going to happen, and lo and behold, it happened. So as soon as I heard about NFTs, I immediately wrote on January of this year in an arts journal, the art newspaper, that if you don't know what NFTs are in the next few months, you're either too old or too stupid because it's going to change the whole art world. And I had no idea, even when I wrote that, how true it was going to be and prophetic.
Awesome. Kenny, I think, Beauregard or Bogard? Did you have a question for Kenny?
Yeah, thanks. It's Beauregard. Kenny, first off, I just want to say the whole time you've been speaking, I've been having my hands up in the air because what you are saying could not be more true. And coming from working in contemporary art galleries, it is so refreshing to hear someone speaking sanely and accurately about what's being seen in the market, because all the navel gazing that goes on, I work in London, and it is just unbearable. And what you're saying, I think, is so fantastic to hear. But I think my question for you is, coming from the traditional art market, coming from looking at it through platforms like ArtNet, do you get a sense that the tide will be changing? Because I speak with galleries all the time, and there is no interest in looking at digital artists, no interest in learning about the technology. They have curators who are not going on courses or on Twitter or in any sort of forum to educate themselves and bring that knowledge back to the gallery. Do you get any sort of sense of, within the networks you speak with, that they will be coming around at any point in time?
Well, first of all, thank you. And second of all, it's already happened. It's already a foregone conclusion. The gallery world reacts to one thing, and that's the clinging of coins in a cash register. Mm. So whether you like Beeple or not, or his 5,000 this, or his new walking sculpture, whether you like it or not, his piece that sold for that stupid amount of money, was a symbol, and it was a wake-up call to the gallery world that there's one thing that they would push aside the technology. A refrain you frequently hear is that, oh, NFTs are this, but they're not art, mm-hmm. and the art sucks. It's the fucking stupid people that just don't want to take the time to look at some of the great platforms that exist and the brilliant artists that are making profound work in every stripe, conceptual or otherwise. So right now I can tell you that Hauser & Wirth is working with a company, Lobis, that an artist, Lucian Smith, who became the poster child of what was called zombie formalism at the time, making these generic abstract paintings that sold for hundreds of thousands of dollars and were churned and burned. And anyway, he's onboarding Hauser & Wirth Gallery, one of the biggest. And I spoke to Larry Gagosian, and he said, I am not that gallery. I am not interested in NFTs at, and now even he's looking. Okay. So it was Sotheby's and Christie's took the initiative, because they're very transparent and of their naked lust to make more money. So they jumped on board because there was a vacuum. and Christie's had the first biggest high profile sale. And now Sotheby's is in there. I mean, they stupidly, Sotheby's is calling their NFT selling platform Sotheby's Metaverse. But I said to the chairman of the company on his Instagram, like, and he's like, see you all in the Metaverse. I'm like, Charles, you're not, what you have is not a Metaverse. It's a platform, but I'll see you on your platform. Great. The only reason that the auction houses are selling primary works is because the galleries were too chicken shit and scared about losing. Yeah. So now every gallery will have their own white label NFT platform within a year to 2 years, every single one. The same way they sell books or multiple objects or prints, they're all going to have the capacity for their artists to deploy NFTs, 100%.
Wicked, thank you.
Awesome, Kenny. There's another question for Simone, if you are here and want to ask.
Yeah, hello, I'm Kenny, and thank you for your time. Sorry for my bad English, but I'm Italian. As you might know, Italians are not great in English. Anyway, going straight to the point. How an artist coming from the, let's say, old market can begin selling NFTs? That means, like 2 days ago, I dropped my first NFT and I got the feeling like to be in the middle of the ocean screaming at no one, like I'm here, you know? So what's, in your opinion, best practice to...
Well, first of all, your English is fine. I struggle with English and I'm born in Long Island and my kids never let me forget how bad my accent is. And look, if you drop an NFT on OpenSea, you're going to drown. Let's be realistic. But NFTs are not these like magic dust that could make everybody rich and famous. That's ridiculous, nor should it be like that. It's like anything. I mean, I have literally clawed my way to this shitty, lowly position where I'm at anyway today by just work, nonstop. Self-promotion, Instagram, Twitter. I mean, there was someone who was involved with an NFT of a contemporary artist, and they asked me for help on how to promote it. And I said, go to Twitter, go to Discord. They said, I'm not sucking up to these people. And I said, you're never going to do well because your problem is that you're an arrogant asshole, and this space is against such a stupid, closed-minded mentality. So it's like anything. I mean, I think anyone, if you're just making paint on canvas and never use the computer ever in your creative process, then perhaps NFTs are not for you. They're not for everyone. If you want to animate your canvas or bring it into the language of what digital art could be, great. But again, like even that doesn't, you could, there's always an anomaly. And photographers, it's a great medium for limited editions or photography. But the thing is, it's like anything. You have to do your research. You have to look at Rarible and Super Rare and Nifty Gateway. And a lot of the platforms are gatekeeped. It's a total misconception to think that anyone could just hop on without some help. But you need to just cultivate your own network. And if you don't have a big enough network yourself, the best thing to do is to join forces with your friends, with like-minded people, and do it together. Have an NFT show in a physical space, or, you know, you just have to, it's like anything. If you want to sell lemonade on the street, you have to go to a place where there's a lot of people. So you have to bring the audience to the NFT. NFTs are not a panacea. It's not like a pill that you just swallow and you're rich. It's never going to happen. It's a struggle and a hustle like everything else. So I would say, like, be really careful about the kind of where you mint your NFT. I mean, I've minted it when I first started over a year ago. I was minting all my archives, and I did a lot of minting on OpenSea, and then only to discover like the actual deployment of the, it wasn't even an NFT, the contract that they used. It wasn't even a proper token. So you have to be careful of how and where you mint it. Just, it's easy enough to do it if you do a little research and ask for help. And then you just have to get on the soapbox and get on the, pound the pavement and scream and reach out to as many people as you can, whether it's organizing a show with your friends, getting on all, you have to be on Twitter, you have to be on Discord, and then you just have to promote yourself in the exact same way you would if you were selling canvas.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Sure. So Kenny, I'm really curious. I know you spoke yesterday for NFT NYC, and I've spent a lot of time going to the different vendors, if you want to call them that, or the different booths. And I've been blown away by what I'm seeing here, which I thought I was coming to NFT NYC to see all of the main projects that are here. And what I noticed is the majority of the people that are occupying these booths or that rented these spaces, they're either new or they've been in the space, but they're not on the collectible side necessarily. I'm noticing a ton of VCs that are coming in and they are trying to start. Let me give you an example. I talked with someone yesterday that is new to NFTs within the last, let's say, 4 months or so. And what they're doing is building a Discord to stack with hundreds of thousands of people. And they're going to have a badge that they issue that you pay for. It'll be an access badge. And they're going to fund projects that are ultimately going to be sold to the people that own those badges. I'm sure these people are going to be new. They're not really going to know exactly what they should be buying. And they're going to assume that if they own the badge from this company, let's call it, or this project, that I should be buying NFTs coming from this project. And I started thinking, this sounds like it seemed really bad, like great that people are coming in, but the idea of here's the mint pass to buy all of the projects that we're funding, but we're relatively new to the space and we don't really know what we should be, you know, coming out with. I'm thinking this is almost like corporate America coming in to scale NFTs. And I'm curious what your thoughts are.
Well, again, well, you know, there's a lot of greedy fucking people in the world and people smell money. And there's a bell's curve of ethics and integrity in the world. And it's like, I mean, already NFTs were on a U.S. Skit comedy show, Saturday Night Live, ages ago when they first started. This has become a phenomenon worldwide, cultural and beyond. And you're always going to have unscrupulous people in every sector of the world economy, of human nature, that tries to exploit. An example is like when I had my second drop and I made a few bucks on Nifty Gateway, I tried to exchange some money into fiat, and I went to the exchange that I was on and it cost a ridiculous amount of money, like 15% to change the money. And there was another button on the exchange. One of them was just the exchange, and then underneath there was another button that said for pro. Now typically, whenever I see the word pro, it means PAY more than PRO, that you have to pay for it. Plus, it means that you have to fill out all these stupid, annoying forms. So I just didn't even think to hit it. Little did I know that if you hit that button, pro, there's no form, there's no additional cost. And then the fee goes from $1,200 to exchange the money to like $150, $200. So I think that a lot of people in this world, already there are these crazy scams where people are divulging their seed phrase or their passwords and losing the entire contents of their crypto life. So there's always going to be these people that are cropping up. Literally, I mean, again, like the smell of money, like when cocaine was big in the 80s, and people, it brings out the worst aspects of human nature, and this is no different. So, I mean, the most important thing that I could ever say is that art is a slow burning process. NFTs are not something that you want to sit there and like jump in and do something. Of course, I never took much forethought when I did stuff, but I've been involved in this for decades in art. But you need to take your time. No opportunity is going to disappear from one minute to the next necessarily, but you have to know what you're doing. You have to take the time to learn, to look, to do due diligence, to be cautious, to be careful. So you can't just jump in, join a club, get a token, and think that you're going to get the next masterpiece for pennies. It just doesn't work like that. You have to troll all the sites and meet the people and go to the Discords and do some. I mean, you know, I've spent a year. There's not a day goes by that I don't read. I don't speak to someone. I ask for help. I'm not scared, like one of those people, that typical male machismo stupid mentality of not asking for help, not admitting I don't know that, even though it may be the most obvious thing to other people. But there's nothing wrong with asking for help. And in fact, it's integral to the success of anything is to surround yourself with people that know more than you. And in my case, that's not the most difficult thing. And I'm not shy about asking and making mistakes. And, you know, I've given away so much trying to accrue some of the information that I have now, but then you learn from it. So there's no shortcuts in this world and in any world. So I think that project sounds ridiculous. The information is out there. If you get directed to some good projects, you'll find them. You don't need to pay for it.
Yeah, makes a ton of sense. So I know that you've got a call at 12:30. So I just want to say two things. One, seriously, a huge honor to be here talking to you. You're an incredible guy. And I look forward to Penelope's Country Club and Crypto Mutts forging an alliance in the blockchain, because that is what we are. We want to be touching other projects, and we want our members to be your members and your members to be our members, because we want quality, and you're bringing quality to the table. And it's awesome to give our holders exposure to your project, because Huda and myself and so many other idiots and Penelope holders think it's incredible. And the other thing I want to say is you had a line, and I don't know if this is a line that you use all the time. And if it is, it's awesome. But this needs to be on a t-shirt. You said, I don't want to be the bridge to the fine art system. I want to blow it up. And that sounds like some awesome merch, because that is just that just screams Kenny Schachter. I think that's a beautiful thing. So
I hope that this is the beginning of a long term, that this is only part one. If anyone has any questions they didn't get a chance to ask, just tweet me up, Discord me up, Instagram, whatever. I will respond to every single question. And when I say about that, like, tongue in cheek, bridge blowing up, we don't need to repeat the same hideous behavior in the art world into the NFT sector. And trust me, all these galleries are going to try to just emulate the models that the only model they know, which is control. And they have these waiting lists and controlling access and who gets to be at the table. But we're in a new world right now. And it's not a subculture. It's not a metaverse. It's a real fucking world with real implications, that real money is at stake, and people's lives and creative, you know, output is all at stake. And the change has changed. So now it's just a matter of what you do with it. The weapons are weaponized, and we're all equipped to take advantage to the fullest extent. And it's unbelievable and profound. And I'm so, so, so grateful that I'm in it.
We're grateful.
Really,
you're here.
I just can't believe it.
Yeah, we're grateful.
And anyway, thank you all so, so much. I really appreciate it all, and everyone that's listened that I haven't put to sleep. Thank you very, very much.
No, thank you, Kenny. Thank you for taking the time. And everybody follow
now,
Kenny.
Wherever you are, get out of my house, whatever room you're in. You have to leave now. I have to grovel for money to the bank.
Okay, I'll show myself the door. And Kenny Schachter, everybody, thank you for coming on, man. Follow Kenny on Twitter. He's at Kenny Schachter, but you'll see it in our tweets. And thank you again for the time, and we will see you guys next week. Have a great day, guys.
Thank you, Kenny. See you, kittens and mutts.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Wow.